but heaps good history. A little touch of mystery with lots of hilarity. It's Adelol.
Tom. Oh. No, hang on. Welcome to Adelol, hey! The Heaps Good History podcast, where we explore stories from South Australia's unique and often hilarious history.
Yes, we do.
My name's Dan. I'm a born and bred South Australian. And every episode, I tell a story to my good mate, Tom.
Yeah, it's me.
Who was born in the UK and I came here in 2003. Thank you very much.
15.
Here's the thing, though. Neither knows what the other is going to bring to the table.
I don't.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
I should have done this first. First and foremost,
yeah,
probably before what we did, yep, we would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people, and we respect their spiritual relationship with their country.
Yeah,
we also acknowledge the Kaurna people as the traditional custodians of the Adelaide region, and that their cultural and heritage beliefs are still as important to the living Kaurna people today.
Sensational.
Also, any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners that are advised that the following episode does refer to Aboriginal individuals who have died. Also, I know of at least three Aboriginals who listen to our show, so cool. Big ups to them. So, shout out to those guys. Please be aware, some of the language, words, and description of this episode are offensive and distressing.
Yep, but it's not us using the offensive language or distressing content. It's newspaper, I'm guessing, or somebody giving a quote.
These words reflect the attitude of a period in which the item was written
or
its author. Please be aware, this episode does contain references to deceased people, like I said, which may also cause sadness and distress.
Sure.
I think that's the first kind of acknowledgement and kind of welcome.
Yeah.
So, work with an Aboriginal guy.
And yep. He's like, can you put that in there? He's like, I listened to that episode you did about the crows. People were throwing the word blacks around a lot.
Stop listening after that and written to HR. So,
yeah.
There we go. But no, he's like, we were talking about the acknowledgement to country, and he's like, I fucking hate when it's like a meeting of four people, and I'm the only black guy there, and they're
looking at you as they say every word,
yeah, and
your mob.
He's like, some old bird like harps on about it. He's like, fucking, it's a meeting about work health and safety. Like,
I think you'd only experience this if you work in like social work or teaching or one of the fields that's kind of focused on, I'm not saying that other fields and other industries aren't focused on like social justice stuff, but those industries in particular.
Yeah, I don't think the building industry does it.
No, I don't know. They don't do work in the country before they put up a new. But one of the things I hate most is when you get white people trying to be like down with, you know, their black Aboriginal colleagues in particular, and just by throwing in the lingo. That fucking infuriates
me.
Where they'll be like, "Oh, mate, you know, your mob, our mob. Yeah, we've sort of, you know, I guess we've had a, you know, we're really trying to connect and do the acknowledgements and the welcome to countries, you know, to show that we've got a lot of respect for your mob." And it's like, don't use the word mob,
Tom. It's deadly. Just leave it alone.
It infuriates. Or they're like, "Yeah, bro. Good to see you, bro. Great to see you coming in and accessing the services, you know." And it's like, why are you throwing the word bro in there every second sentence?
I actually say bro a lot.
You wouldn't add that if you're working with an Aboriginal client or an Aboriginal colleague. You wouldn't throw that word in there more to sound like more down, which people do. And it definitely happens.
And it shits a lot of Aboriginal people too.
I'm sure.
Because, like I said,
some people guy I work with, fake British accent when they're trying to talk to me,
and he's like. We work in the social work and mental health field, so we have a lot of Aboriginal workers and a lot of Aboriginal young people that we see. And he's like, white people think they call it like a welcome to country. It's like, no, you can't do a welcome to country.
It's an acknowledgement of country.
Hey, welcome to my house. This isn't my house, but fucking you're welcome here.
Yeah, welcome to.
There's a difference between a welcome and an acknowledgement. Yeah. So that always cracks me up when we hear that. So
it's
people mean well, but.
Yeah.
Calm down.
I think in some ways, though, it's worse to mean well.
And fuck it up.
Because it's like you're saying, well, it's almost as if you're saying, I've done my part. And it's like saying, I'll do this and I'll do no more.
I'm good now.
I've absolved myself of any responsibility.
Look at my Twitter profile. It says Kaurna Land instead of Adelaide. That ends the discrimination right there.
Yeah. And it's like saying, well, if you're still disappointed or upset, or even if you're still, it's like people that say, oh, we said sorry. we had sorry day, we said sorry, so you should be over it now. And it's like, oh, I've done my part to give acknowledgement of country or whatever it is. Yeah. So, I fucked it up. But like, you know what? Maybe you should be less sensitive. And it's like, no, maybe you should just fucking try harder, mate. Or like accept the fact that if you do it wrong, that's on you.
That's it.
It's not like up to Aboriginal people to feel bad for you.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
But anyway,
rant over.
Yeah, look, obviously you and I are very passionate about Aboriginal rights and Aboriginal history.
Oh,
we
don't,
we don't do the welcome every episode because, you know, like I said, it's just we don't need it unless it's, you know.
And
this episode I think we do, actually.
And laying it out there too, don't know enough, don't know that much, don't claim to know that much.
We know a bit.
We know a bit, but would, always like open and keen to having people come on and tell their stories, as long as they're funny. We don't want some fucking miserable.
Well, that's the thing. We don't cover much Aboriginal history because if you know anything about Aboriginal history, there's not much funny stuff going on there.
Yeah, and let's be clear as well, it's not just Aboriginal history, it's white history, because in most of these instances, it's white people that are the perpetrators.
Yeah, and wait till you hear this story.
Okay, so, look, let's do it.
Not a funny story, but it's got funny parts to it. And like we said, we're a South Australian podcast, but we haven't covered much Aboriginal history because it is, you know,
tough.
Pretty tough.
Yep.
But we got a good one here. I love this story for a couple of main reasons.
Okay. We're going to do beer of the episode?
Yeah, let me tell you why I love this story and then we'll do beer of the episode.
Okay.
So it's a rad story because it's a story of a community as a whole sticking up for an Aboriginal bloke in the 1800s. So when that was not...
All right, it's a white saviour story.
Yeah, it's a white saviour. This is what makes me feel good inside.
This is our green book. This is South Australia's green book.
In a time when that wasn't common, but also northeastern suburbs get a mention. So whenever gets a mention, I'm repping this story.
Yeah,
so.
Excellent.
Let's crack beer of the episode.
Yeah, beer of the episode. It is supposed to be winter, or you know, I guess autumn now, and it was 31 degrees today.
It was hot.
So I grabbed a couple of bottles of Southwark Old Stout. We've had Southwark Bitter, but we've never done the stout before. And I thought I grabbed them because, you know, it's supposed to be winter, or supposed to be autumn, and it bloody well is not.
It's not at all hot.
But
let's crack them anyway.
Let's get the winter beers going anyway.
Do we have to roll them or anything?
I don't know.
Hey, cheers, bud.
So yeah,
I hate stout, by the way. So
yeah, I'm not.
See how this goes.
I don't mind stout, but I'm not. It's not my go-to.
Oh, I do not love that. Nah, that is strong.
Some stout tastes like
shit. That is strong.
Some stout tastes like old cigarettes. Do you get that vibe? Like it's.
I definitely get this vibe
kind
from
of dirty.
This. Beer.
Sort of.
Usually, I say I love every
the
beer,
aftertaste,
and I'm like,
it's like it's the taste you have in your mouth when you've had a big night and smoked and you promised yourself you wouldn't. A
couple of durries.
Yep.
Anyway, Tom, this is the story of Logic.
Okay.
Not Logic the...
Yeah.
It's a bloke and that was
the,
his name.
Like, computational mathematical theory and, yep, not that kind of logic.
No, not at all. That's not funny.
No, well, that fascinating story.
Go on.
Well, I don't know if you... Do you know who Bertrand Russell is?
No.
Bertrand Russell is a pretty famous British philosopher, and he was like instrumental in the development of formal logic, which is like a type of maths that was then used by people like Alan Turing and stuff like that to build computers.
Oh,
so,
I'll be damned.
Logic itself is pretty interesting, but I don't know, you're probably right, not that funny.
Well, I figure that'll do for the episode, so we'll call it a night. Till next time, have a laugh. Have a lol, have a logic. Logic, also known by his Aboriginal name, Pinba. So this is what caught me straight away about this story.
So
this guy has his own street name going on already.
All right.
And this is in the 1800s. He was born in the
mid-1800s. So his name was Logic, or people called
his
him
name
Logic,
was
or
Pin-
that was his nickname?
His name was Pinba.
Pinba, yeah.
He gave himself the nickname Logic, or it was given to him.
Cool.
I don't know. But anyway, he was born in the mid-1800s and was one of South Australia's...
Good time to be born. Absolutely was not a good time to be born.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Not a good time. And one of South Australia's...
Unless your name was Anne. In fact, no, definitely not if your name was Anne.
One of South Australia's most famous prisoners.
Cool.
He was he was most likely, because the records weren't really kept all that well back in the day. He was most likely...
That's because we didn't really have that many prisoners in South Australia, because like totally wasn't, you know, no convicts here.
Yeah, that's right. He was most likely a Diary man, so that was the country he's from, Indigenous Australian group and language of the South Australian desert, around the delta of Copper Creek, kind of east of Lake Eyre, I think.
Okay, all right.
The Diari mob were a chill bunch back then, apparently. They explained that they were very hospitable.
They were a chilled bunch, chilled mob. Is that what you're saying? Bro?
They're just a deadly mob.
Yep.
Revered the age. They adored their children. And like any stranger who was passing through their country, they'd make them feel at home and be like, hey, welcome. This is our country. Like they do a welcome to country.
Yeah.
Probably. The one white guy who lives there is like, yeah, I'll do a welcome to country.
I'll do the welcome to country.
I'll do it for these deadly
fellas. I play the didgeridoo as well. I did like a weekend course. They're like, that's north, top of the Northern Territory. That's a completely different Aboriginal country that plays the didgeridoo. He's like, no, I'll give it a crack.
all these deadly white fellas.
Yeah.
So, anyone who passed through their country, they're like, hey, you know, come chill with us. Like, yep. So they're a good mob.
Bro.
I can't wait for the complaints to come in.
Hey, at least we're acknowledging that there are dickheads out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Actually try to take that approach when engaging with people.
They even, like, if people were coming through their country, they'd give them their food even if they didn't have much of their own. So they were known as, like these guys, if you want a safe place to go, go to the DRA.
Cool. So that sort of real hospitable, welcoming...
Yeah.
People.
So... Which is kind of how he, became a hard worker. In the 1870s, Logic found work as a stockman and a boundary rider in South Australia's far north. He was a hard worker, and he learned to speak English really well because he mainly worked with Europeans.
Yep.
He was known as a hard worker and a good guy and a really, nice guy to hang with.
Yep.
So, until one day, in March 1878, Logic and his European stockman partner, Cornelius Mulhall, began
great
to argue.
Name.
Yeah. Sorry, that was just my phone.
Cornelius Mulhall.
Cornelius stock-whipped Logic and then shot him in the back because they started an argument. So the logical
Why
thing...
Why did he do that?
I don't know. He was arguing. So Moore was like, oh, fucking, crack the whip.
Logic's like, look, I know I've worked really hard to learn your language and to speak to you on your level.
Mm.
But that's something I'm doing because I mostly work with Europeans. I really would appreciate it if you stop saying mob and bro.
Put that boomerang down, mate.
Yeah, seriously.
It's a hunting thing. It's not meant to come back.
I'm not going
to
teach you. I'm not going to teach you basket weaving. That's woman's business. That's not my place to... You really know you cannot climb Uluru. Stop asking.
Nah, mate. And he's like, nah. I just want to yarn with you, mate. Let's just have a yarn.
Fuck.
So Mulhall shot Logic in the back.
Yeah,
so
in the back as well.
Yeah, I know. So he was obviously turning away from the argument, like, I don't want any part of this bullshit.
Don't care,
like, oh,
don't want
you.
To deal with this. And it, yeah. Well,
so Logic got pissed off and stabbed Cornelius Mulhall to death. So.
And Mulhall, is that German? It sounds...
I've got no idea. I've never heard of that name before. Century. Mulhall. H-A-L-L.
I just can't believe that a German would be racist and try to shoot someone.
He escaped arrest by fleeing to Queensland. Logic managed to avoid capture for more than 2 years.
Now, hang on. But Logic had to run away?
Yeah, Logic ran away because they're like, well, you killed this guy and you're black. So you've gone away for a long time.
So Mulhausen shot him and whipped him.
Yep. Logic survived.
Logic survived.
And then stabbed him.
And stabbed him.
To death.
And he... Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So Logic has killed the white guy.
Got it. Cornelius. All right. So this... But this all happened in like one incident?
Yeah, one incident.
Okay.
It was just one thing.
So it wasn't like he's like survived, recuperated, rested.
It's like...
Got his wound healed and then was like, I'm going to fuck you up.
Oh, you want deadly? I'll show you deadly.
Yeah, I'll show you deadly.
I'll literally show you deadly. So he escaped arrest and fled to Queensland because he was in the northern part of the state. He just went to Queensland.
Yep.
He avoided capture for more than 2 years. But for some reason, in October 1880, he decided just to come back to South Australia.
He's like...
And was instantly recognised.
Yeah, it's like, he's like, I got shot, whipped and killed a guy. By stabbing him to death, had to run away from him, from the law, from my family. But just a couple of weeks in Queensland, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going back.
You know what? You still wouldn't want to be a black man in Queensland.
No, that's right. So true.
Law caught up with him when he returned to South Australia and was instantly recognised.
Oh dear.
He was tried for murder and managed to downgrade his conviction to manslaughter. So he thought, okay, good, I'm going to get off a fair bit lighter because it was self-defense.
So he was able to sort of demonstrate, right, the guy shot me, here's the bullet wound.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But no, they gave him the full sentence of 14 years of hard labor, which is a very long sentence for murder. It was the maximum in the day, apparently.
That's hang on, though. 14 years for killing someone isn't that bad.
Yeah, but when people only live to about 30, it's a very, very long sentence.
Like, he's like, that's three life sentences. Without parole.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Deadly. I think I'm using that wrong. So Logic obviously didn't display a lot of logic by coming back to the area where he killed guy.
I can't imagine there was anywhere to run.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Run out of Queensland.
Yeah. Yeah, get to Queensland. Bob Catter's up there like, what are yous doing here?
Fraser Anning's there.
Just fucking hell. He's just like, I blame you for getting shot.
So Logic was sent to Yatala Labour Prison in 1885. He was a model prisoner. Sorry, he was sent in 1880 to Yatala. He was a model prison. And in 1885, a petition seeking a remission of his sentence was prepared.
Awesome.
So people were like getting behind Logic. They're like, heard his story. He's like, meh, well, you probably shouldn't be in jail because he shot you, so you stabbed him, so fair enough.
Yep.
But Logic had his own ideas. So there was a petition going to release him from jail. But Logic had his own idea one day.
Right.
Yeah, Logic, like, once again, not displaying much of that logic.
He's like, I'm not gonna live out my three life sentences in jail. I'm gonna make my own way.
So
to the outside of the jail. I'm guessing that's what's gonna happen now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they used to work in the quarries near Yatala, which I think is kind of where the Walkley Heights is now, if I'm guessing.
Yep.
Because it's all like gullied out. And so anyway, there was an explosion going on and everyone's distracted.
Yep.
And Logic's like, I'm making a run for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to read now from the Pictorial Australian newspaper from 1885. And Tom, this is where...
it's going to be a high quality appraisal of the situation.
Logic, his escape and capture.
Okay. So this is Tyre's quality journalism?
Yeah. Yep. On the evening of October 10, as the Yatala Labour Prison gangs were about to be marched back to the quarries from the quarries to their cells,
yep.
Logic, the native who was sentenced to 14 years hard labour, he's not native, he's from the north of the state and he's in fucking Jepps Cross.
Yeah, so, but everyone's a native, right? It's like you just start with the assumption he's that native. All Aboriginal people are the same. Yeah. They were from
The native who was sentenced to 14 years hard labour in February 1881 for murdering the... Oh, he was Afghan. He was Afghani.
Oh, okay. Afghani? That's why I only got 14 years. Like, if it was a white man, you would have got at least 15 years.
Yeah, that's it.
And that is bang on. That's four life sentences right there.
For murdering the Afghan Cornelius Mulhall in 1878. See, all the dates are off, but anyway. Yeah. In the far north, suddenly jumped away from the gang and ran for liberty. Half the guards in charge pursued and fired their... Oh, God. Oh, this is the sentence. Half of the guards in charge pursued and fired their revolvers at the darkie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. When I first read this sentence, I'm like, was it night? And they were shooting into like an alley. I'm like, oh, no. Okay,
oh, no. They're calling him a darkie. Yeah,
that's a capital D. Yes.
Wow. Oh, well, that's respect. Well, at least they're using a capital D. You know, it's like when you're in uni and you write an essay about Aboriginal people and the lecturer's like, you need to use a capital A for Aboriginal. It's like, that's what, at least they were attempting to show some respect.
Capital D for darkie.
Capital D,
the
darkie.
The editor's like, come on, we're not running a fucking advertiser here.
It's like, we're not taking the piss with this one. Yeah.
None of the bullets, however, seemed to have taken effect. And on went Logic at the rate of speed, divesting himself as he went of all his clothing. So he stripped off, basically. Okay. So he's running and taking his gear off.
It's like that scene in Forrest Gump where he's just running and like he's got the leg braces on and they're just flinging
falling off.
And
his clothes
are flying off and he's just sprinting.
He struck out towards Modbury, my hometown. Yeah, love Modbury.
Modders.
But as he distanced all pursuers...
Shout out to the Modders mob.
Mobbery.
Mobbery.
Deadly Heights. I don't know. I'm trying to think of more.
Yeah. I can't think of any either.
Yarndale.
Yarndale.
Oh, God. As he struck out towards Mobbery, he distanced himself from the pursuers. And went out of sight, he doubled back into the valley. So he ran towards
Mobbery. He ran towards him, and then when they chased
him. When they went over the hill, he came back.
He came back, yeah. So they're expecting him to go the other way, and he's like, this is what they'll least expect.
Yep. So he was seen again, but was followed to no purpose. The prison alarm gun was fired, and the jail bell rang to notify the guards off duty that a prisoner had escaped. And those fellows assembling, also by the utmost frankness and even... Oh, I can't even read this.
Yeah, it's like, the, it's like
just words.
Yeah, it's like the sentence is put together in ye olde English to the point where it sounds quite refined and sophisticated, but, you know, they'll just drop a hard D darky in there as well.
And those fellows assembling also by the utmost frankness and even volubility. I don't even know what that word means.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Modbury High.
Yeah, that's because you went to Modbury High.
A detailed account of his wanderings would become monotonously tedious, for one day's experience was much like another. So he basically goes on the run.
Yeah,
for a few days. And from what I can read, he started out in the northeastern suburbs, like just...
And it's basically saying he goes on the run and he's basically living day-to-day trying to survive, and there's not really much to tell.
He's living on the land. He's living on the land and just connecting surviving. Connecting the country. At one with the mob.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So he was a. It appears he broke away from Yatla.
Right.
He then camped out under a railway bridge.
Cool.
Kind of near the. It seems like it was near Anstey's Hillway, if I'm guessing, which is kind of near my way.
Yep.
Then he made his way along the side of the ranges, so which is like the Mount Lofty, Greater Ranges.
Yep.
To Gawler the next day. So he's gone from Yatla to Gawler in one day walking. So that's a.
That's a effort. Solid effort, yeah.
He then he presented himself to farmers.
Obviously, they had that Northern Expressway, so he just kind of followed the trail.
He then presented... I should have read this before I read it.
It sounds like it's pretty difficult to actually
It's very read. So he made his way to a farmhouse, and he's like saying like... he could only describe his situation in four expressive words, which I find hard to believe because all other accounts is like he could speak English very well.
What the fuck?
He made...
Bruh.
And this is really racist. In four expressive words. Dinner time. No tucker. So that's what they said there.
Okay.
Tucker.
Right, yep, yep.
So making for a farmhouse.
This is after when he's been walking for like 4 days and or however many days and he's exhausted and can't. Yeah.
Yep. So he was given tucker by farmers.
Yep.
Refreshed and invigorated. The next day, his feet were sore, so he saw a trooper. So he still had to leg it again.
Right.
So all right, basically, he was walking his way back up to northern South Australia pretty much. So along the way, he sees several farmers. I've just stopped reading the article because it's just bullshit. So basically,
it's pretty hard to actually get through, yeah.
Yep. So... he goes from farmer to farmer and they're like, okay, well, I know the next farmer 20 days down the road. He's cool. He'll let you stay the night. Go stay cool. there.
So it's almost like the Underground Railroad. Well, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. They're like, well, you know.
You know, the concept of the Underground Railroad? The idea of there's fuckwits that'll turn you in, but there's also people that'll...
People will be like, I don't care. You're a guy in trouble. I'll help you out. So
you try and get passage to where you want to get back to.
Yeah. So he's like, well, you know, I know the next guy's on. Here's some food, a knife or a blanket or whatever.
Yep.
So basically, everyone Logic ran into while he was on the run was on his side, telling him where to go next, and they give him food, tobacco, tea, and clothing and all that.
And that doesn't necessarily, have anything to do with them knowing his story or necessarily caring what his story is. It's like, in Australia at this time, people... And like, this is kind of a central part of Australian culture in a way, and that whole kind of larrikinism and everything. People didn't have much respect for like law and order and authority. I mean, like, South Australia might be a little bit different in that regard, but you get the sense that in 19th century Australia, I mean, even like the song Waltzing Matilda is like a classic example of that, right? It's about some guy on the run for stealing a sheep.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like people had this mentality of like, nah, fuck them. Like, we'll help you get away.
I would have done the same thing in your situation. And that's what everyone's like. It's like, I would have shot that guy too. Like, who cares? Yeah. So they're like, so this time, like, everyone who, they kind of made mistakes along the way. Everyone who's like, yeah, the next guy is cool. That person would write a letter to the newspapers like, yeah, Logic stopped by my house and he was fucking chill. Just let him go. So like public support is mounting for Logic. So he becomes a bit of a celebrity.
Have you ever seen the film China Jimmy Blacksmith?
No.
Okay. So it's obviously, I don't know if it's inspired by it. I think the China Jimmy Blacksmith is a fictional story.
Okay.
But there's a movie I think came out in the 70s, and it's about a guy, Aboriginal stockman, whose wife gets raped. And so he kills all the white men in, it's basically like Django. So he goes around and just kills all the white men in the...
So it's a comedy.
Oh, yeah. It's a crack up. But he like kills all the white men in his village because they basically... disrespect him and see him as like a mongrel bastard or whatever. Yeah. And so he's just like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
So that's like a revenge story. But yeah, he's like a kind of a, it's about,
he goes on the run kind of thing.
He kind of goes on the run to try and escape. It's about his kind of journey. I don't know if it's, I'm pretty sure it was filmed in South Australia.
Really?
I think it was South Australian Film
Corporation. Well, I know the name that you've said it, so maybe we'll look into that.
We'll have to check it out and I'll find out who. I know, because I know the guy that was a cinematographer on it. There's a famous cinematographer called Ian Baker, who is a close friend of my wife's auntie, and they live in Geelong. And he's like a world famous cinematographer. He did the cinematography on, I think, Evan Almighty.
Oh, really? And Steve Carell? The
Bruce Almighty and Evan Almighty movies.
Jim Carrey.
And have you seen the movie Roxanne? Where Steve Martin has a giant nose.
Oh, yeah, I know the one. He can't kiss the woman. Yeah,
he did the cinematography on that as
I'll be damned.
So, yeah.
So he knows what he's doing.
But that film, China Jimmy Blacksmith, really similar story to this.
All right, well, if it's filmed in South Australia, we'll look into it.
We've got to check it out.
So anyway.
We should do a whole thing on South Australian films.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's your thing, isn't it?
I like film. Yeah, give it a go.
So by this time, Logic becomes a bit of a celebrity with daily letters of support published in the local newspapers for him. And everyone's kind of like rallying for Logic. They're like, oh, it seems like he's coming my way. I'll get the house ready.
Makes sense to me. Yep. You could almost say quite logical.
Yeah. The public called for the authorities to cease their chase to recapture him.
All right.
However, eventually, and this is the part that gets me the most, eventually, with the assistance of Aboriginal trackers.
Yeah.
Do you know what Aboriginal trackers are? Go on.
Yeah, so like they used to have something called the Mounted Police Force.
Yep.
And the Mounted Police Force was, we'd have white police officers on horses.
Yep.
And then they would have Aboriginal trackers. And sometimes they would be like forcibly made to work to track down criminals. So when someone went into the bush and ran off.
Well, you know the land.
Yep. Yeah, and you can spot, like you can track an animal, for example, like an Aboriginal tracker will be able to track a kangaroo over a certain distance to try and, you know, capture them, hunt them, whatever. So they're like, right, you can spot footprints, you can see where patches of grass have been disturbed, stuff like that, and they would basically track down people.
Yeah, in this case, basically guys who know the land and they're like, well, we're fine. Yeah, that's right.
Or they're going to be able to spot things like where the water is and stuff like that. So they're going to be able to figure out where people would go.
Yeah, logically.
In order to get them. So yeah, that's pretty fucked up and tragic because you probably had some like white police constable on a horse following these Aboriginal trackers who are basically helping. I mean, like, I'm not, they weren't all forcible. Like some of them actually
Some of them worked. Is
their career. Their careers probably. But that's kind of the sad irony, right?
So yeah, it's like people okay, well, fucking
helping the white police.
Hey, you're a black guy. Find another black guy.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, that's how it went. So they were probably like, so Logic was recaptured, and you know, Logic was pissed with these other black guys. Yeah. And he's like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So during the train ride back to town,
not necessarily people from his country, though, right?
Yeah, that's right. So they might have been, I don't know, other. I know some of them have beef with each other and things like that. I don't know too much about
it's
but
complex,
I know some countries won't talk to other countries and like won't mention other countries' names and things like that. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, Logic was recaptured and transported back to Adelaide.
Right.
During the train ride back home, crowds gathered in large numbers to see the famous prisoner, and everyone's just like, "Fucking let him go!"
Yeah, just so the police fine, like, let him go, leave him alone.
Yeah. So they called on the governor to.
He only shot an Afghan. Wait 150 years. We'll be doing, like, John Howard will be getting us to do that willy-nilly. He'll be like, yep, let's go shoot some Afghans.
Get over there.
And when they want to come here as refugees, fuck it, don't let them in.
They called on the governor to release Logic for the remainder of his sentence. There was so much public pressure that the governor did just that, and in December 1885, Logic was once again a free man.
Respect.
But they said, basically, we're putting you on a train to Port Augusta. We're sending you to Beltana. Beltana?
Was that... anywhere, that's not even anywhere near where his people are from.
I don't know. And he completed his trek home to Tingana station on foot.
Okay.
So, he basically got sent home. He remained in Aminka in the States far north until his death just before Christmas in 1903. And in an amusing little twist, Tom, sometimes he found work as an Aboriginal tracker.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
He like tracks people and they're like, fuck you. He's like, I know how you feel. They're like, you don't know how I feel. He's like, let me sit you down and tell your story.
Oh, God. Right? So that's the story of our state's most famous prisoner. On Boxing Day 19...
That's wild. That's so cool.
That's a crazy story. It's not like I said, it's not that
it's
funny.
It's not cool that he got shot, but it's cool that people were like, you know what, fuck it, let him go.
Yeah, that's all right. And on Boxing Day 1903, the Adelaide Observer published a short obituary under the heading, Death of a Notorious Blackfellow.
So. Oh, at least it wasn't Death of a Notorious Darkie. Let's be honest. Like, they'd obviously started to refine their language and make it a little bit more politically correct.
When Jesus. When I looked this up on the Trove website, which is like where you look at old digitalized newspapers, like it cuts off part of the like sentence, like Google, like it only shows a certain amount of characters. Yeah. And it said like Death of a... I'm like, oh God, here we go. But I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
So Death of a Notorious Blackfellow. So... In Aminka, December 26th, the once notorious but now almost forgotten Logic, the blackfellow, murderer, and jailbreaker, died
here
last
Wednesday.
Hang on,
no, it wasn't murder, it was manslaughter, but that was established.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's the Adelaide Observer.
I guess it's still murder, isn't it? You kill someone,
it's still murder. Yeah. So, the blackfellow, murderer, and jailbreaker died here last Wednesday. Since returning to these regions after his reprieve, he hardly ever left the district. Well, I think it's because he's told, if you do, we'll put you in jail again.
Yeah, you'll get another three life sentences, 10 years.
He was always afraid of the white fellow. Oh, shit.
I wonder why.
Fucking wonder why.
He was always quite afraid of the white fellow. I mean, one tried to shoot him. a bunch of others tried to track him down. In his, you know, in their defense, a couple of them did help him.
Yeah, that's it.
But mixed feelings about the white blokes.
He was for some time one of the native police and was a good tracker. He had been ailing for the past 12 months with an internal complaint. Don't know what that means, but I mean, like...
The bullet that the guy put in him 30 years previously had maybe
septic. I've got pelletitis.
Yeah.
So, Tom, that is the story of Pinba Logic, the state's most notorious prisoner.
What a legend.
It's a great story. What a legend.
Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating story.
I love it.
And I want to go away now and do a bit of research, and I'm going to come back in the next, well, probably not the next episode, but at some point in the future and be like, I was totally wrong. It's a totally different story, et cetera, et cetera. But Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith, what's that?
What's your language there? This isn't the Adelaide Crows in 1993 we're talking about.
The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith is, there's a lot of similarities in the story from my memories of having seen that film, which was a while ago. Definitely some similarities in the story. So I wonder if it was inspired by the story of Logic. Are you looking it up?
Yep, absolutely. So Tom, till next time.
Have a laugh.
Have a lol.
And shout out to Southwark Old Stout.
Southwark Old Stout. I didn't like it, but anyway.
Yeah, I wasn't blown away by it. But you know what? Southwark Bitter, fantastic.
Fantastic. Have a laugh.
Have a lol.
We hope you all had a lol, a dad a lol.